God above. I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me, my name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his horn. I know that well with God he stands. No tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. Amen. Every once in a while, it's good for us to look back and see how good God's been. And I'm thankful that God's been good to us tonight. And I just want to sing about that tonight. You may not know the song, but I hope you know who I'm singing about. Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than I can explain. There's no other word to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood through it all. God's been good.
than I can see, where I've cried some bitter tears. But I felt His arms all around me as I faced my darkest fears. See, I've had more gains and losses, I know more joy than hurt, as His grace falls all around me, undeserved. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good.
It's my favorite part.
God has been my Father, my Savior, and friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying, tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is like this. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it. Oh, God's been good. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it. Oh, God's been good.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm thankful that's more than just a song. Amen. It's the truth. God has been good to us. I had an old pastor, he'd always say, he said, anything above hell is the grace of God. And so we're experiencing the pure grace of God tonight. And I'm thankful for that. But this morning, I started a series of messages. And I just want to continue that thought. And we talked about this morning about the beauty of the Bible. And just about the importance of, I believe, trying to find the Lord Jesus throughout the Word of God. And there's no greater topic, there's no greater subject. By the way, Jesus is our revival. You say, oh, where do you find that at? Well, the very last mention of the word revive in our Bible has to do with Romans 14, verse number 9, I believe it is. That's not what I'm preaching tonight, this is free. Says, but Jesus Christ both rose, I'm going to misquote the verse now. Let me just quote, read it to you. That's always dangerous off the cuff when I quote something. But Romans 14, 9, the Bible says this. Romans 14, 9, it says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. Amen. That He might be Lord both of the dead and living. Revival is connected with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we get connected with Jesus, we get revival. Amen? And that's my intent, that's my burden, that's my heart for this meeting, is that we would look for the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Word of God. And I believe that that is the beauty of the Bible. And so, tonight, I'm going to take you somewhere. We're going to open up to the very first chapter of the Bible. Anybody know where that's at? Class, anybody know where that's at? Raise your hand. Everybody feel familiar? Genesis 1:1. Amen. Genesis 1:1. I was praying. I said, Lord, where do I need to go? And I think this is where I desire to be tonight. Genesis chapter 1. All right? And you say, you see the gospel here in this text? I sure do. And I hope by the end of tonight, you'll be able to say that with me. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Let's, you can remain seated. It's all right, unless you just want to stand. But you can remain seated. Now, I'll give you a break, but I'll make you stand tomorrow night. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And here in this text here, as I said, I see the gospel. And one of the secrets, just by way of introduction, Jesus after in Luke 24, verse 25 through 27, as I said, through Moses and the prophets, preached Jesus. Don't fear, I'm not going to go through Moses and the prophets all at once tonight. All right? So I don't want you to miss the Super Bowl. I'm just kidding. Amen? No, I ain't worried about that tonight. But what I'm saying, I ain't worried about the food after, but that's another story for another time. But what the Bible says in Romans 16:25, it says, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Paul writes to those Roman believers and he says how the gospel is a secret. It is something. Paul was a revealer of the mysteries of God. He was given a dispensation of grace that he was given an understanding. He revealed the Old Testament secrets or mysteries. And one of the mysteries that we see is the mystery of the gospel. And he says, now to him there's a power to establish you according to my gospel over in Romans 16:25. And what Paul is saying is that my gospel, the gospel, it is to establish you. What does that mean? It means to strengthen you. It means to settle you. See, the gospel isn't just for lost people. Y'all out there tonight? The gospel is not just for lost people, but it's for the saints of God to draw strength, to be reminded that this life is not about us. And in modern American Christianity, we make Christianity too much about us and not enough about Jesus. How instead of we take up our cross daily and follow Christ, we just love on us and we don't worry about taking up a cross. I'm just trying to say that as we preach the gospel by way of introduction, that this is to remind us that this Christian life is not about us. And we gather together for a meeting to have revival. If we're going to have revival, we're going to have to get our eyes off of us. We're going to have to put it on Jesus. So he said, to establish you according to my gospel. Over there in Luke 24, as I said already, in verse 25 through 27, Jesus preached Jesus. And the result was in Luke 24, verse 32. Those disciples, they said, did not our heart burn within us? We need a burning heart for God. And I feel like in this generation, or in my heart and yours at times, my heart doesn't burn for God as brightly as it should. And we need reminders. Say, preacher, you're way too honest. And that's the only way I know to be. Amen. Life's too short to play around. We got to be honest. But we see here today that All throughout the Bible, we see pictures of the gospel. And I want to say today that the New Testament, it doesn't originate the gospel, but Paul organizes the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel." The word gospel literally means good news. Amen. Good news. A Savior has come. He said this about good news. He said, "Before I heard the gospel, I never heard any good news. But after I heard the gospel and believed on it, I never heard any bad news." Amen. I thank God for the good news of the gospel. For it is still Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, unto the Jew first and also unto the Greek." The gospel is still the power of God that God uses to birth you and I into the family of God. Amen. And we can see that illustrated all throughout the gospel, all throughout the Word of God. And we can see that here in Genesis. And I want to say, though we don't see the 3 points of the gospel, which are what? According to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Again, pointing back to the Old Testament writings. How He was buried according to the Scriptures. And how He rose again according to the Scriptures. That is the pure, unadulterated gospel. Salvation is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His righteousness. Praise God. I have nothing to earn to my salvation. Amen? Amen. I thank God. I don't believe that according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God, that repentance and faith in the gospel is all that's needed. Amen. And though we don't see the points of the gospel, we see a picture of the gospel in this text. And tonight, just for a couple moments, I'm going to preach on the gospel according to creation. The gospel according to creation. I want to say I'm thankful that we can see a lot in creation. I'm thankful that we believe in 6 literal days of creation. On the 7th day, God rested. Evening and morning is 24 hours, not thousands of years. All right. If you believe a gap theory, that's good for you. There's many persuasions out there. I'm just going to go with what the Bible says. But we see the gospel according to creation tonight. Firstly, let's look at verse number 1. Y'all still alive out there? His Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." We see the Savior that is proclaimed. When I see the very first verse of the Bible, I can't help but, because I have a New Testament, it makes me think of over there in John chapter 1, verse number 1, the gospel that proclaims Jesus Christ is God. He wasn't a man who became God, but He was God who robed Himself in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had 100% deity, but He had 100% humanity. He was not man who became God, but He was God, God Almighty, who robed Himself in the likeness of sinful flesh, born underneath the law to redeem us out from underneath it, or to redeem the Jewish people out from underneath it. And we see today that the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God." Amen. And so we see the Savior that is proclaimed. I'm thankful that I'm thankful that the Bible lets me know that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Creator. Colossians 1:15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him," talking about Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Jesus is the one who's holding everything together. Jesus is the one who's holding everything apart. That when we look at creation, thank God, we can tell that there is a Creator. The Bible says how the fool, two times, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible opens up. It doesn't say, in the beginning, if you want to, God. No, it stamps and says, in the beginning, God. It is a declarative statement. And we see the Savior that is proclaimed. And I thank God I heard about a Savior. I thank God how I heard that he was the Creator. But also I heard about how He was the Christ. Amen. So we see the Savior that is proclaimed. Secondly, we see the salvation that is pictured. The salvation that is pictured. Look at verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We see firstly the without that is seen. The Bible says, and the earth was without form. The word without means as without, in a state of destitute or absence from. The word form means the shape of an object, and the word void means to be empty. Now, the literal context, the literal interpretation of this verse is saying that when it is laying out the literal first day of creation. But what I see in the gospel according to creation is I see you and me. I see a life without Christ, without form, without void, empty, dark, dank, has no help, has no hope, helpless. In fact, the Bible calls us sinners. Romans 3:10. It says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To sin means to miss the mark, to fall short. God set the bar. He demanded perfection. But the Bible lets us know, thankfully, through the Ten Commandments, through our conscience, that lets us know that by the law of God that's written on our hearts, it lets us know that when we break one of those commandments, that when we understand, man, we're a sinner, we have fallen short, we demand judgment, we demand payment for our sin. We are sinners. My life before Christ, it was hopeless. My life without Christ, it was aimless. And that's what the Bible lays out, without that is seen. We see the witness of the Spirit. In verse 2, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We see the Holy Spirit involved. Now I'm thankful for the day that when I wasn't looking for God, God came looking for me. Luke 19:10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Now I thank God that Jesus Christ passed by my way. Talked about this morning how the sweet Holy Ghost came by my way and showed me my need of a Savior. I was a religious church member. But I thank God that God took the blinders off mine eyes and showed me that I was a sinner, but that Jesus Christ was the Savior. We see the witness of the Spirit. We see the Spirit evident. He's moving upon the face of the waters. And we need the Spirit of God moving in here. By the way, a sign of the Spirit of God moving, it ain't tongue flapping. All right? It ain't all what certain movements wants you to make it think it is. But it's the Spirit of God moving and having His will and way to convict sinners and to show them their sin. Say, what are you saying? John chapter 3, verse number 5 says, Jesus answered, verily, 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 I say unto thee, or truly, truly, except the man be born of water, that's not baptism, that's the first birth. And of the Spirit, that's the second birth. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Listen, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The workings of the Holy Ghost are equated to the wind. As you can see, as the wind blows, the Bible says the wind blows where we listen, thou hearest sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, how the Spirit of God blows through a place. It starts to move people towards Christ. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. There's a witness of the Spirit. And as I said already, the night I got saved, the Holy Spirit was involved. By the way, He's not just a doctrine, He's a person. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All three of them coincide, they work together. We don't believe in modalism, where in the Old Testament He was God the Father. During the time of the Gospels, then He's God the Son, and now He's God the Holy Spirit. No, all three of them operate, and we see that in the New Testament. We see that today, the doctrine of the Trinity, but it's more than a doctrine. He's a person. We see the without that is seen. We see the witness of the Spirit, but thirdly, we see the Word that is shining. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God literally turned the light on. You know that hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I remember when God turned the light on in my life. What about yours? Amen. Again, the day I got saved, I don't necessarily remember everything the preacher said. But I remember the Lord using the testimony of my pastor. It was his wife. She was testifying before she sang. And she talked about how she had been playing church. And she talked about how she grew up in church and how at the Christian school where she went to Mountain View Christian School in Cowpens. If you don't know where Cowpens is, it's right next to Mayo, right next to Chesney. Say, where's all that? Only God knows. Just like Sherall, amen, God knows. But she talked about how God, the Holy Ghost, that began to open up her eyes and to show her through that preacher, he was preaching revival at the Christian school. By the way, thank God for Christian school, amen. And that preacher was preaching on Judas of Iscariot, how he was one of the 12 disciples, how he walked with God, but how in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he kissed the doorway of heaven, but he died and went to hell. And God showed me, he said, Samuel, that's you. You're going to die and go to hell from off a church pew. And I remember the Word that was shining. The Holy Spirit of God opened my eyes and said, Sam, you're religious, but you're lost. Thank God that night I repented of my sins and placed my faith in Jesus Christ. But before you think repentance is a response, it's not a work. Amen. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall perish. Amen. The Bible's for repentance. We see the Word that is shining. It says, and the God said, let there be light, and there was light. Here's what the New Testament says, 2 Corinthians 4. It says, verse number 2. Back, verse number 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the devil, that's Satan. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the light of God that God uses to shine on men to show them their need for a Savior. Amen. God does it for sinners, and if you're saved tonight, there's a time in your life when He did it for you. Amen. When God turned the light on. Is this making sense? But we see Firstly, the Savior that is proclaimed. Secondly, the salvation that is pictured. We see the separation that was parting. Notice this. And God, verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, in verses 1, we see the Savior. But in verse 2, we see the Spirit of God. In verse 3, we see the salvation that is moving. God turns the light on. But after salvation, much like here, after God turns the light on, he ain't done. And when we get saved, that ain't the ending. That's the beginning. Is that making sense? The Bible says that God started dividing the light from darkness, and God started calling out some things. What are you saying? We see the light that was determining. He says, and God saw the light that it was good. You know, whenever light is present, darkness cannot stay. Say, what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is that when Christ moves in, he starts separating some things. He starts telling us that the darkness is bad and the light is good. In fact, the New Testament says, walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1:7. That we may have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful that when I got saved, I got taken out of darkness and I got put into light. Amen. But we see the light that was determining, but here it is. We see the line that was dividing. In verse 4, the Bible says, and God divided the light from the darkness. In this, in creation, we see that God started dividing some things. And again, this is the gospel according to creation, that when we get saved, God starts dividing us from some things. It's called sanctification. It's called, which is a bad word to people today, separation. But we're still to separate from some things. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Ghost for a reason. He produces holiness in our life. When I first got saved, I thought I was pretty good. And then the Holy Spirit started going, putting his finger on this. Deal with that. And I go a little further, and Holy Spirit, through the Holy Scriptures, he go, you got to deal with that. And I start going a little further, and he say, now start dealing with that. And the Christian life is full of obedience. The Christian life is full of God dividing us. But where we get in trouble, Lord help me, Lord help you, is when we start blurring darkness and light. Why we need revival is to remind us that the darkness is still bad and that the light is still good. That we're to walk in the light, and darkness cannot dwell where light is. We've got to stay in our Bibles. We've got to stay in prayer. We've got to fast. We've got to do things that would deny our flesh. You want to know the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Why do we keep doing the same things, but keep expecting different results? We see the line that was dividing. God started dividing in creation. We see that in the Christian life. He divides us from carnality. From carnality. Lord, help me. 2 Timothy 3:16, I quote it this morning, but verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. That word perfect doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. It means mature, complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Y'all ladies in the room know what the word furnished means. My wife's watching. She knows what furnishing means. Amen. What does that mean? That when you get a place, you get a house. For example, when Miss Melton came over to the parsonage, right? What'd she start doing? Furnishing it. Hey, pastor's like, yeah, she did. Start furnishing it. What? Putting curtains up on the... I don't even want to talk about furnishings. I don't even know. But maybe if there's a Hobby Lobby around, she started investing in some stuff at Hobby Lobby. Right? Started getting some signs and start... I'm not even going to start now. I don't even know nothing. I'm a guy. Praise God. I don't know nothing about decorating. But I know enough to know when a place is not furnished versus when a place is furnished. Amen. Before I got married, I didn't care what was on the wall. I just had to give me a bed, a TV, and a fridge, and a microwave, and I'm good. All right? But then, but then my wife moved in, and then we got this, and we got that, and we need this for that, and I got to go spend money here and do this and do that. Why? We're furnishing the place, making it habitable. What is the Word of God do in our lives? It furnishes our lives so that God can be at home in our lives. God, the Bible says, in I think over in Acts 7, about the tabernacle, Stephen said, build, I think it's Exodus 15, I can't remember the Exodus 32, Exodus 33, can't remember the text, but he says, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell among my people. God wanted to abide, to live among his people. But he said, he told the priest, this is going to sound funny, but he told the priests, he said that when, this is Bible, he said, but when you have to use the restroom, go outside the tabernacle. He said, because I'm dwelling among you. What he's saying is that God didn't want to be in their mess. You say, you're laughing, that's funny. Yeah, but the application is this. When you and I, when we live lives that are full of mess, God has to step. What? God's not feeling at home in our lives. What are you saying? We need to get the mess out of our lives so that God can feel at home in our hearts. We are the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. That our bodies are not our own, but we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your members. I'm thankful for the universal body of Christ. By the way, don't be scared of that. We're baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. That's amen. That means at Calvary Baptist Church, Brooklyn Baptist Church, Westgate Baptist Church, you can go across. All those who are saved are in the physical, spiritual body of Christ. But physically, we're in. You are collected together. You're gathered together as a New Testament body of believers. God wants to work here, but God also wants to work in your home. See, church isn't just for here. It's for us to take it home. And it's not just for the home, it's for our hearts. It's for our lives. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I say all that to say that we see the line that is divided. That was dividing. Furnishing. The Word of God can furnish our lives. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Y'all doing okay? Two of y'all. All right. I heard a holy grunt. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Word of God is what brings framing to our lives. That brings it makes our lives habitable, as I said, in line with 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. But we see, lastly, we see the life in the days coming. Look at verse 4 and 5. And God saw the light that it was, good, and the light's still good tonight. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the, say that with me, first day. The first day. In the gospel according to creation, we see that God did something on the first day, but there's still five more days of creation. And on the seventh day, God rested. What are you saying, preacher? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, to Took them just a day to make the moon and the stars. Something, 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 Jupiter and Mars. How faithful and patient he must be. He's still working on me. So what are you saying? God's still working on us. God don't start one day and then just quit. But there's still more days. What are you saying? The life and the day is coming. It was just day one. The day you and I got saved, it was just day one. But there was day two, and day three, and day four, and day five, and day six. And by the way, he didn't stop after 6 days with us. I got saved. I was 2 weeks from 16. I was 15 years old. I'm 31 tonight. I've been saved longer than I've been lost. Amen. Amen. This coming April 12th, it will be 16 years. Amen. That I've been saved. And I can say he's still working on me. Amen. To make me what I ought to be. Amen. And if he took 6 days to build everything, he's got a lot of days left to work on us. So what I'm saying is, we see the gospel in creation. God was doing a work in creation, and he does a work in the Christian. You know what? God's going to do a work in this church. You know how I know? Because God gave you a man of God. It ain't in him, but it's in Christ. But when God blesses a place, he puts a candlestick there. He puts some light. He puts some influence there. You had a pastor before that who was here, 24 years? I did some Facebook stalking, you know what I'm saying? I Facebook stalked a little bit. I tried to get some information about the church. You know what I'm saying? God's doing a work here. Brother, you've been here how long, brother? 3 months. 90 days. Usually after 90 days on a job, things start kicking. Huh? Well, it's time. It's been 90 days. It's time for us to, after this meeting, to hit it. Go out. Reach sinners. Do something for God. Get yoked up. You know what that means? Yoke up. That means get in line with the man of God and what he's trying to do for the glory of God. As long as he's preaching this book, as long as he's preaching the gospel, stand behind him, stand with him, and go out in this community and reach this community with Christ. What you see a year from now is not, or what you see today is not hopefully what it's going to be a year from now. This church may not never grow numerically, but hopefully it will grow spiritually and maturely. Amen. Just like from the day when I first got saved to now, things have changed in my life. From the moment in your life since you got first got saved, hopefully some things changed. If there's been no change, there's been no conversion. I didn't say sinlessly perfect, practically. Positionally, you're sinlessly perfect if you're in Christ. But practically, you're being made holy, being more turned into the image of Christ from glory to glory as we look in the Word of God. I'm going to say this as I close. Let me ask you this. Have you wasted any days? Like I said, I'm 31 years old, and there's been days I've wasted. I wasted on things that didn't amount to hill of beans. You know what that means? It doesn't amount to nothing. I'm going to say God can restore the years. And let me say this to the more experienced people in the room. The Bible says in Joshua 13, verse number 1, I'm going to paraphrase it, but the Bible says, however, there that Joshua was old and stricken in years, but there remained very much more land to be possessed. Joshua was the man who was leading the nation of Israel into victory. How he was giving them portions of land, how the children of Israel, they would go in to conquer and to take the promised land, to take what was theirs. And Joshua had been fighting the battles and fighting the battles and fighting the battles and helping the children of Israel. But he got to a place where he was older And where he could have just said, you know what, I've done enough. That, I fought enough battles. But God told him to get up and say, hey, there's still more to do. I want to say you may be in here today and you fought some battles. And by the way, I salute you. I want to say praise God. Thank you for fighting the battle so we didn't have to today. But I want to say there's still more to do. There's still more sinners out there to reach. There's still young people who need some godly older examples. How the aged women are to treat the younger, or how to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and how to love God, and how the aged men are supposed to invest in the younger man, how they're to lead their homes, and how they're to love God. Amen. There is still more to do at Calvary Baptist Church. You've done a lot. Yes, there's been a lot of land conquered, but there's still more to do. If you have a pulse tonight, God has a plan for your life to move forward for His glory. I'm not going to read all these verses, but in Joel chapter 2, in verse 12 through 25, God says, I can restore the years. I will restore to you, verse 25, the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. I'm thankful that through the times that we have wasted, God can help us restore some things, get some things right. We can redeem the time today. Ephesians 5. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. It means being mindful as you walk. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'm going to say this today as I'm closing. I've said that 30 times, but this is my last time. If you're lost, you know not what a day may bring. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. James 4:13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I want to say, trust Christ today. Watch Him use your life today. In this text, we see the gospel according to creation. And though we don't see the points of the gospel, I do see the power of the gospel. I do see the person of the gospel. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do see the purpose of the gospel. Christ is wanting to do a work in your life. Let me ask you today, is he able to do so? May we allow him, as we stand, heads bowed, eyes closed around the building, as the pianist is coming, whatever you want to play, whatever song you've been instructed to play, you just play when you're ready. But the gospel according to creation, can you insert your life? Can you see the gospel making, has the gospel ever made a difference in your life? I'll encourage us today. Let's continue to allow the Lord to work in our lives. Let's pray as she comes. Father,